Be in John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 31 through 35 this morning. Not the message that I had planned on preaching this morning, but it's the one that I felt like the Lord would have us to share this morning. And I think there are some things that need to be said in light of some of the things that have taken place in our country and in our city this week. So, we look at John chapter 13, beginning in verse, we're going to read verses 31 through 35. And I mean, Wednesday morning, all of us were devastated to hear, not just of another shooting in our country, but at a church where a group of school children had gathered together for Mass. The fellow that did the shooting came with intent to kill innocent children in a place that should have been safer than any other place on the planet. Not just a school, but a church. Next to the school that this Catholic church ran in the city of Minneapolis. And they had done things to protect the children. Doors were locked. And so this fellow shot, not to be deterred, shot through the windows of that church and killed two innocent children and wounded nearly two dozen others. That's sad. And it ought to break our hearts. But it's a sign of something that we're dealing with all around our nation, even here in our community, dealing with it. And it's the issue of hate and sinfulness. You see, there's just one thing that could drive anybody to do such a horrible thing. As the week has gone on and news has released part of what authorities have found, hundreds of writings of this individual just filled with hate. Hating of Christians and Jews and white people and black people and Mexican people. Basically hated everybody. And yeah, people say, well, we need more gun laws. That's not the issue. The issue boils down to two things and one ultimate thing. But it boils down to hate, but even that hate boils down to sin. If we didn't understand and know it before, we better realize this week, this creation is fallen. And every human being is born with a disease called sin. And listen, this world has been impacted by sin. It's been full of sin for a long, long time. And no matter how many laws we pass or how many pacts we sign, it's not going to get any better. The only way it's going to get better is one thing, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's look at John chapter 13, we're just going to read verses 31 through 35 this morning. So as when he had gone out, and by the way, he's talking about Judas Iscariot that's going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. So he'd gone out, they'd gathered together for the Lord's Supper before they celebrated, as they celebrated the Passover earlier on in chapter 13. So that's the context. So he'd gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you just a while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If there were any verses that were particularly applicable that our world needs to hear, I think in this week it's these four verses. And Jesus says, I'm leaving you a new commandment, and we know it, but we need to remember it and maybe be reminded of it. You see, there's been a lot of talking this week on various places, various news channels, various newspapers, various things on Facebook about what happened, why it happened, and what we need to do to fix it. But the reality is, the only thing that will fix the problem of sinfulness and hate is the love of Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that will fix it. And so there's two things. Jesus is not bashful when he speaks. We've seen that as we've looked at this gospel, and friends, I need to tell us that we need not be bashful either when we're speaking of what God says. And so I want us to just see two things this morning as we look at these scriptures and think about this. And the first is this, that God's love must be understood. Jesus is not saying that, well, if you're going to love someone, it means just ignore what they're doing. Nor is he saying only show love to those that like you. Remember again, when he said this, Judas Iscariot, that was going to betray him, had just walked out the door. Man that had walked and sat with Jesus for 3 years and had seen all the miracles that Jesus had done and all the lives that Jesus had touched. He had been on many mission trips, if you will, with Jesus and been sent by Jesus on some mission trips. Remember, there were times in the Gospels where Jesus sent the disciples off two by two. And that means Judas went on some of those trips. Judas, though, made a decision, though, not motivated by the love of God, but by the love of money and the love of self. And he decided, I'm going to betray Jesus. I know that there'll be some folks that'll give me a pretty penny if I turn Jesus over to him. Remember, we've seen multiple times in the Gospel of John already, the Jews, the Pharisees, had sought to arrest Jesus. They wanted him. They wanted to. Why were they so intent on arresting Jesus? It wasn't because, as they said, they claimed it was, well, he was preaching blasphemy. That wasn't the reason. The reason was Jesus threatened their power. And they didn't like it. And so they were going to get rid of it. And Jesus was also calling their sin, sin. You see, Jesus never in the Gospels just sweeps sin under the rug. In fact, he is ultimately, as we look toward the end of the book, you already know how the story ends, so I'm not spoiling anything for you. But Jesus is going to pay the ultimate price for my sin debt and your sin debt and the sin debt of all the world. Why would he do that? Not because he hated us, but because he loved us. And so he could have chosen hate. And by the way, most of us would have understood had he chose hate. Most of us would have said, all right, Jesus, turn those rascally Pharisees into a pillar of salt. It serves them right. But that's not what Jesus did. And so we have to understand that when God talks about love, it's not just sweeping sin under the rugs. It's not just about hugging and making friends and, you know, being all nice and saying, well, whatever's going to be is going to be. You have your truth and I'll have my truth. That's not what love is. But love is welcoming folks despite their frailties and their failings. Not excusing their failings, but welcoming them despite their failings. We saw woman, you remember, that's caught in adultery, is recorded earlier in this gospel. You remember what Jesus did with it? He didn't say, well, hey, listen, we're just going to say that commandment, that verse, let's just white it out. We'll just take it out. No problem. By the way, if he wanted to, he could, because he's God. He's the one that wrote it. So he could just declare, hey, listen, times have changed. We're just going to slide that one out. That's not what he did. Just so to remind you, you go back and look if you don't believe me, but as the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus, Jesus bent down and wrote something in the sand. Doesn't tell us what he wrote, but he wrote something. And then when he looked back up, all the people that had brought this woman were gone. And so Jesus said, where are the fellows that brought you that were accusing you? He said, none of them are left. They've all gone away. And Jesus said, well, we'll just sweep it under the rug, pretend it didn't happen. No, that's not what he did. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The reality is, folks, that most people do not need you to tell them what sin is, or that what sin they've committed is wrong. They know it. They know it's wrong. Just like when you sin, you know it's wrong. Or if you're a Christian, you really know it because the Holy Spirit whaps you upside the head and says, hey, dummy, you shouldn't have done that. But listen, even a law, we have the law of God written in our hearts, and we are born with the knowledge of right and wrong. Nobody has to teach us what right and wrong is. We know. Now, that doesn't mean just because we know right and wrong that we're always going to choose right. Because every single one of us chooses wrong sometimes. So it's not that we need to condemn folks. But what we need to do, and what love is saying, yeah, you've done some wrong. But God's grace, God's mercy is more then you're wrong. That because of God's love and God's forgiveness and the fact that God can make you new again, you don't have to keep doing what you're doing. You can find a better way. So biblical love is not just excusing wrong behavior. Jesus called sin, sin, and he wasn't afraid to do it. And he wasn't bashful about it. But he also knew that most folks didn't need to be told they knew that they had sinned, that they had done wrong. What they needed to hear and what love motivates us to do is say, even though you've done wrong, there is a different way. So love does not just let people stay where they're at and stay in the condition they're in. Love makes them well. Just like if you're sick and God has, listen, blessed some men and women with some smart knowledge. We have doctors and nurses that, listen, and I'm thankful for the godly ones that Leslie and I have that take such good care of us. Would those doctors love us if they saw us and whatever problem we had, said, well, that's a little sensitive, touchy something. Let's just not deal with that. Well, I know that your cholesterol is 350. Which, by the way, if you didn't know, that's not good. But I love you, so I'm just going to not say anything. Would any of us go to that doctor? No, we wouldn't. Would he be doing what he's supposed to be or she do if they didn't do anything? No. It's all right, I love you, so I'm telling you, you better watch your diet. You better take this medicine. And then we go for a checkup every year. Guess what? That doctor knows if we're eating right and taking our medicine like we're supposed to or if we're not. But it wouldn't do for them just to say, well, I'm just not going to bring it up because I don't want to offend anybody. We'll just pretend that, hey, you're good, just the way you are. No, you're not. Every doctor knows it. They say, listen, you've got a problem, and here's what's going to fix it, but it's up to you to do whatever the plan is, isn't it? The same is true with salvation and Jesus. Jesus will tell you, hey, what's wrong? He will say, hey, listen, here's the way to fix it, but it's up to you to do it. Jesus is not going to force himself on you. We have to willingly surrender. And that salvation decision, we're saved one time. And that moment when you ask Christ to come into your heart and forgive you your sin, you're saved as you're ever going to be. You're saved 100%. That's what the Bible tells us. But even though we're saved, that doesn't mean that we're all that God wants us to be, or that we know all that God wants us to know. It's a process of growing, and it's a continued daily decision. Remember, Jesus said, daily pick up your cross and follow me. Not just pick up a cross one time, say, well, I checked that box, let me just forget about it. I've done that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that think that. Say, well, I went to church once, so I'm good. No. You can't just serve, by the way, Jesus once in a while. You got to do it all the time. And that's what real love is. That love gives, it welcomes people, it takes them where they're at, but it doesn't leave them there. It offers them a solution, a better way, the path to a higher way, which is Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. And that is how any of us can make it. That's the only way any of us can make it. We can't make it on our way, but we can make it His way. And so we have to understand what love is. And listen, disagreeing with someone does not mean you don't love them. You can disagree with someone and still love them with the love of Christ. You know, I think that's a lesson all of us learn. I think especially some politicians need to learn that. You know, in our culture, in our society, people throw mud at each other. It's all right to have a different idea or a different opinion. It's all right even to have different values. The individual claim, you know, said that did the shooting Wednesday was a transgender person. I don't understand all that. I'm not even going to touch it. That's not the purpose, and this isn't a political sermon. But I do know that maybe had that person experienced the love of Christ through some godly believers, that maybe history would have been different. We can't spend too much time on the what ifs, but because things are what, you know, what's happened has happened. But friends, can we make a decision that we want to understand what real biblical love is so that maybe we can help prevent something like that from happening here in Pearl, Mississippi? And by the way, it's happened before if you've forgotten history. What can overcome that? That's hate. Hate leads. That's the only thing that can lead somebody to do that is hate. Guess what the opposite of hate is? It's love. So we have to understand what God's love is. But then secondly, as we wrap up this message, love must be shown. It's real easy to say, I love you. But if you say, I love you, but then your actions don't back that up, you don't really love that person. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't need to hear the words, especially grandparents and parents. I saw the father of one of those children that was murdered this week. We don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us are promised tomorrow. And so you hug that child a little extra. And listen, your children and grandchildren, your spouse, they need to hear, I love you. And probably all of us need to say it to others more often than what we do. They do need to hear it. But can I tell you something? They also need to see it. They need to see it in you giving of your time and attention to them. If we say we love somebody, but then we never spend any time with them and we never pay any attention to them, do we really love them? No, not really. So Jesus says, listen, this is how they're going to know that you're mine, because you got a bumper sticker on your car that says, I love Jesus. That's not what he said. Or because you got a fish on your necklace or on your earrings or on your socks. That's not what he said either. This is what he said. They will know that you are mine by the love that you show to them. Not the love that you say to them, but the love that you show to them. And friends, I'm just going to be real with you. This church sits in this neighborhood, and I tell you that there are some people that go to church in this neighborhood, but there are a whole lot of lost folks that live in this neighborhood. And then I can tell you, as we expand out, there are a lot of sinful folks in Pearl, Mississippi. They're even at Rankin County. And then when we put Jackson in the middle, we know there are a lot of sinners over on the other side of the river over in Jackson. They're everywhere. But here's the thing. Those sinners, the only thing that's going to save them and change them is the love of Christ. But the only way they're going to find the love of Christ is if the people of God show them the love of Christ. Not just tell them. And so there are people in our neighborhoods, there's people in our workplaces that are lost as a goose. And the only way they're going to be found is your love. If you love them, and that means that, hey, listen, yeah, you welcome them. That doesn't mean you just accept whatever crazy nonsense that they might be involved in and call it good. No, that's not what real love is. Really loving someone's being willing to say, hey, listen, you're heading the wrong direction and you're going to go off a cliff if you don't turn around. God's love, Jesus says, has to be shown. And so this is what he did. He says, I'm going to show you what that looks like. They didn't understand it at the time. They didn't even fully understand it the week after it happened. It was several days later when the Holy Spirit finally fell. They started to get it then. But Jesus was saying, listen, it's time for me to be glorified. And as I'm glorified, that means God the Father is glorified. And as he's glorified, he turns it around, gives it to me. Why did he say that? So that we would know. Love costs. Love is sometimes painful. Love is sometimes difficult. It's sometimes messy. But love isn't just spoken. Love is always shown. You see, Judas that betrayed Jesus said the right words the 3 years he was traveling with Jesus. And he knew the right phrases. He knew the right time to say amen. He knew the right time to go and to, you know, do whatever the disciples were doing. But he didn't mean it. It was up here in his head, but it wasn't down in his heart. What was in his heart was selfishness and sinfulness. And a bunch of self. And so Jesus reminds us by showing us, why did Jesus die on the cross of Calvary? It wasn't for fun and pleasure, I can assure you of that. It was to show us what love is, because Jesus is going to say in a couple more pages down in your Bible, we'll get there in a few weeks. Jesus said this, he said, no greater love has man than this, than to lay his life down for others. And that's exactly what Jesus did for me, and that's exactly what Jesus did for you, and that's exactly what Jesus did for all the whosoevers of the world. That whosoever would come would be saved. Well, but sometimes we are kind of like Jonah. You remember Jonah ran from God because he called him somewhere he didn't want to go to share the message of God's love with people he didn't think deserved it. And we all know the story of what happened. I'm not going to retell it because we're running out of time. But you remember that the entire city of Nineveh got saved. There was revival like crazy, something the world probably has not seen since. And you know what he did afterwards? He sat up on a mountain outside of the city and pouted. He said, God, I knew you were going to do that. You sorry, right? I knew you were going to save those rascals. And they don't deserve it. Now, here's the reality. None of us, including you, deserve salvation. Amen. But God loves all of us so much that he offers it. That whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm so glad for that. So friend, the message of the message this morning is this, that people need to see God's love. And friend, God has said, you go show them God's love. Don't just tell them, you show them that God loves them. You mean, even those people that speak a different language, yes, even them. Even the people that live on the other side of the tracks, yes, even them. That coworker that grates on my nerves and I want to put a pin through their eye. Yes, especially that person. Because as we're showing others God's love, that reminds us, hey, we need God's love too. I know I sure do. And if I need it, I know you sure do. But here's the thing about God's love, it will never run out. That his mercy really is more, and I'm thankful for that, and I hope you are too. What's going to change this world? It's not new leaders. It's not spending more money on problems. It's not passing more laws. It's more of Jesus and his love. That's what will change this world. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, we thank you for this great reminder. Lord, our hearts really are heavy this week. And we pray for those families that lost children and those that are recovering from this great tragedy in Minneapolis. But Lord, even here in our area, there are those this week that have been victims of terrible crime that really is a symbol of hate. And God, we're reminded that the answer is not money, it's not politics, but it's you. And Lord, our prayer is that you would work and you would move in our country. Lord, that we would have a fresh sense of you and a fresh presence of you. And Lord, it's got to start somewhere, so it might as well start with us. And our prayer is that you would help us to share the love of Christ with those that need to hear it. Lord, there are people in our families, there's people in our work, there's people in our neighborhoods that are lost, that are bound by this disease called sin, and it's destroying them. And Lord, the only thing that can fix them is you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be your hands and feet, that you'd help us to share the message by our actions, that people would see you in us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, there's a decision you need to make today. Would you make that decision? If you want to come to the altar and you want to pray where you're at, maybe God's put somebody on your heart. Maybe there's a neighbor, that maybe there's a family member that really is deep in sin, and they're in darkness, and their life is filled with hate. Maybe you need to pray for them today and ask the Lord to help shine the light of Jesus in their life and the love of God, because the love of God is the only thing that's going to change them. It's the only thing that can change anybody. So let's stand together. We're going to